But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Advice Show. I'm Zach, a reporter at New Model Advisor. I'm joined by data reporter Alicia Hagopian. And today we're talking about alternative routes into financial planning and how we can improve financial education. Alicia and I are joined by Amelia Davidson-Slack, advisor at Premier Wealth Solutions, and Nick Powell, relationship manager at Premier Wealth Solutions. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us. I'd like to start by, Nick, if you would, how you got into financial planning. You had a career that spanned Manchester United, various football clubs. Not every planner can say they've started in the Champions League. I wanted to see how you've got into the profession and what you would advise other sports people in terms of financial planning.
Probably goes back to then when I was around 16. I was very conscious about money. I knew I was going to become a footballer in some sort of capacity. So early on, I was very conscious about afterlife. I don't know why. I think it was stemmed from my family being very conscious about money. Having four kids, they had to obviously be on a budget. And living through that, I think that's just stuck in my mind. And when I knew I was about to obviously start getting paid, and when I got my move at 18, getting paid quite nice, it just stayed with me. So I would probably say that was the fundamental part of it. Around 23, 24, when I finally gave up and spoke to Amelia's mum about financial planning for myself, it sort of snowballed onto there. So obviously, we're married, and obviously having kids together sort of pushed that sort of sense onto it. And then watching Amelia go into it was more of why I went into it. And like I said, being in the industry, it was like a no-brainer for me. If I can help other people sort of map their lives within football and then for afterlife, or after career, rather, that's the main reason. And so probably, 28, I started doing my exams. Very slow burner, because I do have to concentrate on football now and then. But no, that's my background and main reason for it. I was just very conscious about money.
Caveat to that was lighthearted. Nick takes football very seriously. I'm not being killed for this with tweets after saying that, he takes it half-hearted. Accepting his claims there, like his lawyer.
That is fair enough. I'm sure you take both things very seriously, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more questions on the football and sports side in a minute. But Amelia, I actually just wanted to ask, so when we covered Premier Wealth Solutions and Citywire, you said that your mother set up the firm. So I'd be interested in knowing, because if Nick, you sort of saw that from Amelia's side and were inspired by that. Amelia, why financial planning specifically for you?
I think that's a really interesting question, because it's the transitional, I was around somebody in the industry. The more I talk to people that are within financial services, they fall into the profession. And I do have a lot of people that reach out to me and say, how do I get into it? You know, what do I need to do? What's the expectation? I was on a talk yesterday with SpringPodge, and what do you even need? What qualifications do I need to do a degree in this or not? So I think we need to work harder as an industry, just opening up that gateway and creating some really entry level understanding of the role. You need to pick something that you can bring to the table beyond 35, because you're not just walking a dog every day. So start studying.
That's really interesting, Amelia. I mean, you said that something quite interesting I'd like to pick up on there as well, in terms of a short-term sports career and sort of being aware of your options after that. So I just want to ask both of you, just with your experience of catering for that niche and your experience of talking to sports people, you know, how short that career is and whether there's enough awareness of, you know, your financial stability in those arenas.
There's not enough awareness at all. We bang our heads together about it every single day, don't we? I think we left the other day. Sports people normally get around 30 and then go, oh no, my career's coming to an end. I need to start planning. And we're saying to them when they're 18, 19, 20, because that's when obviously we thought about it. And you sort of go, no, 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 if you do it now, you can do it as lightly as much as you'd like. Do you know what I mean? You can be...
It doesn't have to be aggressive.
Yeah, you can be involved in it if you want, or you can just, do you know what I mean? We'll try to sort it out, or as in become the
Premier Elves.
No, not Premier Elves. I mean, like, as a financial planner across the board. Like, that's what you sort of need to go down. And they just, in my experience, a lot of sports people just go, I've got time. There's enough time in my career to sort of, or I'll make enough money that I won't need to think about that. And it's just not the case. There's that 0.0001% of footballers as a sports people that can do that.
Like, can we be, yeah, like lazy with that? And I don't mean that derogatory, but you're naive to think, one, you know when your finish line is going to be. This is something I talk about a lot, that 35 had previously been linked to pensions for being able to access them early for professional sports players, and even like our mortgages are linked to 35. So it started making me think, where is this 35 number coming from? You know, where are the stats to support saying that players will ever reach that? And just from our personal experience, you have so little control over what the income's going to be in your career. And even though you talk about good money, that's potentially good money for a contract or two contracts, but out of maybe six or seven in your working career. So you've got the financial instability of knowing which paycheck you're going to get at what point. Physical, clubs, there's just so many moving parts that I think players, without being really directed, you're naive to think that actually you have control. The best thing you can do is go in armored and think, I started this early, at least I did something. And if it all goes up, oh, I can't say.
Yeah.
We won't go that one.
I know. Yes, we know you know that one.
Yeah, exactly. If it's all done and dusted, it just takes off that pressure. So it's interesting. There's so many different things that I think influence why people don't act. The people around them, maybe an element of naivety, maybe an element of miseducation about us as professionals, about what financial stability is, or just managing money. Yeah, I think that all plays a part.
It's a niche area, sports people, right? So for a lot of our listeners, a lot of the general public as well, well, the wider public, it's a completely different world and it's a different mindset. Like you said, Nick, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of the general public, it's 18, 19, you start to think, right, how are my financial stability, those careers, whereas sports people, it's a lot more mapped out for that short period of time, right? I wanted to ask you when you personally felt like you needed to look after your financial stability after your career. When did that sort of penny drop, really?
Like I said before, I was quite early on in my career where I thought, I want a family, I want kids, I want a nice house, I want enough money in the bank to sort of help that get to 55, because that's my retirement age. Even though you retire at 35, you don't get your pension, so 55 in sports. So like, you have to outlast that 20 years. So for me, it was 16, 17, 18, even though when I was in such little wage as my scholar, I knew I wanted to save money for that. Just family, really, was the biggest thing I want to
say. So you thought that was quite rare for...
Well, I know that's tradition. Quite rare, yeah. That's what Amelia's learned after being in the industry, is that people just don't think about that until it comes. And people don't have kids till after 30. So imagine trying to tell a sports person where your career's dwindling in the next couple of years and you're going to start a family, which is very expensive, by the way. How are you going to keep that money going, or how have you got enough money? And that's the scariest thing, is I don't want people in sports to get to 30 and go, oh no, where do I start now? Because you're coming to the latter stage in your career. Your money's only really going to go down from then. Unless you're happy to go and do, let's just say, a normal job for now, is that going to be good enough to help you have the life you want after 35?
But then from your perspective, both of you are, your clients are sort of people around football, right? So footballers and their families, is that correct?
A bit of a mix, yeah. So Premier World Solutions predominantly is business owners, families, women, because we're quite a female firm, other than, I mean, it's quite feminine. So, but yeah, so I mean, a typical financial planning firm, really. And then the subsidiary business is Premier World Sports Solutions, where me and Nick fell quite a purposefulness for us to try and help. We have such an understanding of the demographic and like the people. We're both in our 20s with wealth, and it's quite unique that we've lived that journey. So it's a mix, really. But yeah, that side of the business is football.
So then on that side, that is the sort of sports professional side. I guess if we're talking about the financial planning side of it, now you're sort of on the other end where you've been looking at your finances and you're helping other people with their finances. What are actually the differences, and how do you plan for a career that ends at such a young age? Like, what does that look like? Are you planning for sort of setting up investments that will last you the next 25 years, or are you planning to go into other careers? Like, how does that look?
Depends on the people, really, if they want to have another career. Because like I said, a lot of sport people sort of don't really know that till they have to deal with that.
That's where our planning comes in, because, I mean, let's just start with the building blocks. Like, how stable are you right now? You know, you've got debt, or you've got loads of car loans, or your children have private education. Have you got any savings? You know, if life throws you a curveball, what is that underlying stability? Because I can't build something forward if we haven't got the basic principles right. And then it's just an exercise. It's an exercise of getting to know them, getting to know what they want to achieve, and actually working that backwards. The difference is, like you said, the time horizon, that we all know the time in the markets, timing in terms of planning, that is central to a plan doing better. Can I even say that without compliance killing me? But you kind of understand where I'm going with that. We need that duration of time. And sometimes footballers come and it is later on in that career and they just don't have that. So then you're looking at, okay, well, we need to achieve growth because we've got a split retirement. You've got this 35 till, I mean, 55, 57, wherever legislation is for that pension age. And then you've got beyond that. So it's very subjective to what they've got, what they want to achieve, how realistic their expectations is. Like Nick said, some don't want to work. I put it into our cash flow modeling software and they see 25 years of red. And I go, well, okay, don't work. But are you happy just buying a loaf of bread a week? Because I don't know what kind of lifestyle that's going to afford you. And that's the key, isn't it? The sooner we can bring that reality to them and say, I'm not the bearer of bad news, but I'm going to try and help them paint a picture of what will happen or what could happen. That's the incentive for planning then, isn't it? Because we're so blinkered. Everyone is so blinkered that we become frivolous and it's easy to indulge. And oh yeah, I talk about the magpie effect. Oh yeah, I'll have that new car. Oh, I'll do that. Yeah. Oh, kids want that. And then you go, that compounds and that will impact what you can actually afford going forward.
Yeah, I just want to speak about the importance of financial education for a moment. and the state of that in the UK generally as well. For, you know, of course, so many people who need a financial advisor. I wonder what your thoughts were on how educated people are generally on their finances. Because, of course, without thinking about, you know, what your finances look like after a short career, you're also much more susceptible to fraud and things like that.
I just think, like you say, in the whole UK, I don't think it's very well educated. I think taken away from sports people, even my friends growing up, you don't really learn it in school. You come out, you go uni or whatever, or you go straight into a job, and then you start getting paid and you go, right, that's fine, and then you learn about it. And for normal people, it's easier, not easier, you just have to deal with it. So you will learn about it earlier. Whereas, and I imagine we were going to get into this anyway, but within football, you either have an agent or someone else that will come in and go, oh, I'll deal with you, don't have to worry about that. And then go, oh, perfect, I can't share football. And you could turn 35 and they go, right, you need to pay this bill. And they go, well, how do I do that? Where's my agent, or where's that guy that did it 15 years ago? And they go, no, we're not going to hold your hand until you're 55. We go, well, I'm 35 now and I have no idea what I'm doing. So I think that's the problem with sport.
Yeah. Isn't it?
And that's what we would like to do. We've always spoke about doing an educational piece, going into clubs for the youth team, which is between like 16 and 18. And you try, about sounding like we dumb it down a little bit so they will understand, or they will be intrigued enough to sort of go, I might have to learn that. And we've always spoke about doing that. It's just obviously getting your foot in the door, really. We have probably around 10 clubs that have said we can go do it. We need the time between us. But we'd like to do the whole night too, really, within the league.
Ambitious one.
No, fair play.
But it is within, obviously, having the time to stick together to do it in the connections to get into the clubs. But that would be a big thing for us, is just trying to sort of push that between the youth team and first team.
I think generally, I get lots of people coming and speaking to me and just asking me, you know, like friends and peers, people that are in their 20s that are on that really early pathway and are consciously realizing they need to make some financial choices. And just as a kind of thought process, a lot of people rush to be in the market because even I do it, a lot of the education there is time in the market, not time in the market, sit and hold, be patient, be disciplined, and forget that they've got debt and forget that fundamentally that debt should really be focal in your plan. Any debt, mortgages, credit cards, you know, it's just a waste of time if you've not got the capacity to repay that.
I think that you've really hit the nail on the head, because I think that, you know, there's all of us, even sort of the younger journalists at CityWire, I mean, we were lacking in financial education in schools and universities, and a lot of our education has been here, you know, on the job, speaking to people, which has been really great. But I think that, you know, for alternative careers, like whether that's sports or the creative arts or self-employed professions, I think that there's no point at which you even have a sort of boss or HR manager telling you, well, actually, we're going to put money aside in your pension like this, or you should be saving this much. Or, for example, a workplace session just saying, you know, partnering with Hargreaves Lansdown, here's how the basics of savings. And if you've not really got that sort of traditional workplace, you don't even get that, which is in itself not really enough. So I think that definitely what you were talking about, the outreach into football clubs, sounds like a really, really good idea and a really important point, because I can't really imagine a situation in which you have sort of 18, 19-year-olds receiving a multi-million pound contract without a financial advisor or a wealth manager at the same time immediately walking them through that. So I think that that's really a bit of a loss, and it's a bit shocking to me that that, you know, hasn't changed until now.
I was just going to say it's a multitude of professions that, you know, even when I've been speaking to tax specialists within the sport world and the implications of contracts, and they were saying the other day, even things such as, you know, the player's been, a chef has been provided for the player because they're unable to cook or new to the country or whatever. Like that's a benefit in kind, and there's a tax consequence. And it's that education, you know, there should be a really collaborative team there.
Presumably, it's not just that you don't receive that education, but it's also that you've got various competing influences in your life as well, right? Different agents, different people within clubs, different. It's all quite confusing, I can imagine.
I think trust is a big thing, isn't it? Especially picking an agent who will do the whole journey with you if you obviously decide him to, but he's a massive figure in a footballer's career, financially and obviously career-wise. And go back to the whole trust with financial advice. I didn't even trust my mother-in-law. But we were obviously dating for years, and I still didn't have the trust in Jackie because I was, as a 22-year-old, I'm thinking, well, a financial advisor just wants to take my money.
Yeah, that's
perception. I don't understand what you're doing. So why would I give you thousands of pounds to not see a return? And she's going, you will. It's just you've got to take time. And I'm going, no. If I'm giving you so much money, I want it back now. And I want a return on it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like quick win mentality, isn't it? You know?
And I'd go, well, I'd just keep it in the bank then. And I'll just watch it grow. And she's going, yeah, but that's not always the best thing. And I'm going, well, in my head it is.
Yeah, it is a really hard one. I will always defend the players in the sense that they are institutionalized and they are not encouraged to have independence and mature in a mainstream way in terms of like opening bank accounts, going and speaking to a lawyer themselves. And
with financial planning, because if now, Nick, you're sort of looking into the exams and things like that, how does that work? Is it a very good, flexible career? Is it something that you would encourage other people to sort of look into that have had a similar career path to you? Or do you think it's sort of something that's a bit more challenging and you wouldn't have been able to take up if it wasn't for this sort of exposure that you had? What do you think?
We have a lot of downtime, whether it be traveling to an away game and you have hours in a hotel, or we get home obviously earlier than 9 to 5 jobs. So you do have a lot more time sort of if you want to go down another avenue. So I wouldn't say the timing is a problem. It's just a dedication, it isn't, if you want to or not. Like I did my first exam in July. Yeah, and that was my first exam since 16. So I'm 29 now, so I haven't done an exam in 13 years. Whereas everyone else would have to do that to get qualifications.
That was a massive hurdle. He was very grumpy when he came home. Like, why can't you do that? It was horrible. I sweat the whole way through it. I was looking at the towel. I was like, oh, goodness, wow. So even that just mental, that was a massive, I don't think you appreciate how non-mainstream their life is. It was your driving test you asked, example, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, so 12 years of absence. Yeah, it's my last test.
Amazing.
I can't do very well in test situations.
You've been listening to The Advice Show with myself and data reporter Alicia Hagopian. Today we were joined by Amelia Davidson-Slack and Nick Powell. For any questions, please feel free to tweet us at New Model Advisor or email us at animateteam@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth: cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.